decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. It is Wednesday, the 8th of December, as the year continues to tick down. We're rapidly approaching Christmas. I hope you're getting excited about that. I'm getting excited about that, thinking about our Christmas Eve service coming up at the church and just getting all excited for the Christmas spirit. It's an exciting time. I love Christmas. You know, interestingly, and I've been promising to do this. I'll get to it next week. The Puritans banned the celebration of Christmas. And that was an interesting time. And I've been saying I was going to discuss that. It's going to be next week before I get to it, because it just occurred to me right now. I hadn't even thought about it in a while. Gotten distracted by other things, and I apologize because I did say I was going to talk about that. And so I will. So you can look for that next week. Got a programming note. There will be no Squirrel Chatter on Friday because I will be driving the junior high boys basketball team to Plains, and we depart the school a half hour before I normally do Squirrel Chatter. So that'll be an early morning for me as I get up and dash into the school and get the bus ready. Excuse me, so that we can pull out right at 7 o'clock. And I get to drive them again on Saturday. And don't know when I'll be driving them on Saturday, but it'll be determined by how they do on Friday. It's a tournament for the junior high basketball team. And we have a really good team this year. Really good junior high basketball team. So that's a lot of fun. Looking forward to driving that team. I drove them a couple weeks ago, and it's an impressive group of kids, and they're pretty athletic. So, which gives me great hope for the high school basketball team in the future. We're going to have these guys coming up, and a couple of years, we might just be a force to be reckoned with on the high school basketball court again. Looking forward to those days. And meanwhile, I want to remind you that Squirrel Chatter is a part of the Christian Podcast Community, and I encourage you to head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com, check out the wonderful curated podcasts that are over there. There's always something entertaining and educational and informative and hopefully fun. There's good stuff over there, and you can be assured that it is doctrinally curated. You're not going to be running into any heretical thought, even though on some secondary issues we do kind of differ here and there. But so you can get a broad perspective, but you're not going to get any Joel Osteen or anything like that. You're going to get solid Bible teaching. So I encourage you to do that. One of the things that has been on my mind lately is the way our church has developed, not our church specifically, but the church in general, has developed youth ministry over the last half century or so. And I'm becoming more and more inclined towards a family inclusive worship. You know, why are we sending the kids away? No, they're not going to understand everything, but they're going to understand something. And I think it's important for kids to see their parents worshiping. And I think it's important for kids to learn how to behave in church. They learn to sit still and not talk at the movies. I think we can do the same thing in church. And are they sometimes going to make noise? Sure. But as I once heard a pastor say, don't worry about your kid. I can preach louder. And I think that's fairly accurate as well. But the youth ministry, especially what we have come to know as youth group, the junior high and high school kids gathering together on a weekly basis, I think we've made a grave error in underestimating their capacity to study and learn scripture and theology. And one of the things that I look at is the life of Lady Jane Grey, and maybe at some point we ought to really discuss her, but she is the famous nine-day queen. She was named the heir of Edward, who was the son of Henry VIII. And when Edward died, he died fairly young. He was still a teenager himself. But he named his cousin, Jane Grey, to be his heir, to become the next in line of the English throne. And the reason was that he was a Protestant, and Jane was a strong Protestant, and he wanted to continue the Protestant Reformation in England. And so he named Lady Jane to be queen after he died. And she is the famous nine-day queen. The people of England didn't so much want a Protestant on the throne as they wanted a legitimate heir of Henry VIII. And so the people of England backed Queen Mary Tudor, to be queen instead of Jane. And so Jane was coronated queen, and she was queen for 9 days before Mary Tudor swept into London and was acclaimed as queen. And Mary Tudor, of course, was a Roman Catholic. And as a Roman Catholic, of course, for political reasons, she had Jane imprisoned in the Tower, and she would be executed later. But there was no hurry to execute her on the part of Mary. Mary wanted to convert her to Catholicism. And so Mary kept sending her personal confessor, her personal priest, into the Tower to discuss theology with this young teenage girl. And this young teenage girl, I said 16 or 17 at the time. Like I said, I don't have any notes in front of me. I'm doing this from memory. This young teenage girl was arguing theology with this Roman Catholic priest and winning, because she knew her Bible and she knew her theology. And she did this in her mid to late teens. And meanwhile, in our youth groups, we have kids with serious, and kids, I mean young people. I'm 56. Everybody under the age of 30 is a kid anymore. With these people, these young people, they have serious questions about the Bible and theology, about the truth of the Bible, and can we believe the Bible? They have doctrinal questions. They have apologetic questions. And far too many youth groups are, you know, here, have another piece of pizza. And are not dealing with these deep issues. And these kids are about to go to college, where they are going to be exposed to deeply heretical thinking coming from the rank atheist, anti-God academic world. I don't think that we honestly think about how anti-God, anti-Christ the academy is these days. Most parents have been out of school for a long time, and they're not thinking about it. And even when they send their kids there, they're thinking they're sending their kids to the same colleges that they went to 10, 15, 20 years earlier. but they're not. College was pretty atheist when I was there 30 years ago. And it's a lot worse now. And we need to think about equipping our young people to step out into an increasingly godless world. Not just the schools, the entertainment media, the news media, the work environment, the culture at large. This is an anti-God, anti-Christ culture that we're living in. And we are seeing the utter degradation of Western society take place around us and take place much more rapidly than I ever expected it would happen. And I say that as a student of history, that I did not expect as rapid a change in our world as we are seeing. America has gone in less than 100 years from a predominantly biblical worldview, even though I firmly believe that America has always been a majority unbeliever. I think Scripture teaches that this planet has always been majority unbeliever. Jesus talks about two roads. One of them is broad, and the people who enter into it are many. The other is the narrow path and the narrow gate. And it says that, few there are that find it. So I think even in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are looking at the fact that the world has always been majority non-Christian. But having said that, there was an age when the biblical worldview, even among unbelievers, was the dominant worldview in our culture. And it affected how we look at politics, how we look at economics, how we look at justice, how we look at work, how we look at school and education, how we look at morality and right and wrong. All of these things were heavily influenced by Scripture. And those days are gone. When I was a young person, they were talking about we were living in a post-Christian society. And we were. We're now living in an anti-Christian society. We are living in a society that is becoming increasingly hostile to God and the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to seriously consider how we equipped our children to deal with that. That we need to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to instruct them in the Scriptures. We need to, in the words of Deuteronomy, talk about these things as we rise up, as we go, as we lie down, as we go in, as we go out. That's primarily the duty of the parents, but it's also the duty of the church. And for one thing, the church needs to be teaching theology to the parents. But the church needs to be teaching theology to the students too, and to the kids. And that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about youth group and youth work and working with young people. We need to equip them to deal with a hostile world. The world is not neutral. Neutrality is a myth. And we see an increasingly hostile world for our children to go out into. And so join me in prayer as we pray for young people that they might be equipped, that they might be presented with what they need to move into a hostile world. This, I've heard people say, this is a hard time to raise children. Why are you, you're bringing children into this hostile world? And heard John MacArthur speak about that very recently, and he said, "No, this is hopeful. God has determined that these children that are being born now are the children, then the children that are being raised now, these are the people who that God has ordained to deal with this current anti-Christ culture. And so we should be hopeful for our Christian young people, but we need to be very deliberate in our instruction of our Christian young people. And so in your church, think about getting involved with the youth. I know personally I can't deal with little kids. It's just a personality thing for me. I'm fine with one or two deal, you know, but don't give me a room full of little kids. But I thrive with junior high and high school kids. I love them to death. And I'm not intimidated by them in the least. I even noticed this raising my own daughter as she got, I mean, I always loved her. Don't doubt that. But as she got older, I found her more and more interesting. And I found the time that I got to spend with her more and more interesting, because you can talk about things. You can't get in depth on a lot of stuff with a second grader. But you know, you can with a seventh grader. And I think we have totally underestimated our youth, and in a lot of ways, we have let them down. Don't feed them simplistic stuff. Teach them scripture, and teach it deeply. Teach them theology, and teach them deeply. Because this is stuff they need to know. And I've had conversations with youth recently that are, you know, Christian youth raised in the church that are juniors and seniors in high school. Excuse me while I take a sip of coffee. And this is the coffee mug from the Truth Be Known podcast, which is another Christian podcast, community podcast. So Ecky and Nathaniel. I that's one of the podcasts that I highly recommend. It's one of the ones I try not to miss. So that's just a shameless plug. But yeah, yeah, don't underestimate these kids. Don't let them down. So I've been having conversations with juniors and seniors in high school, you know, in high school that are right on the cusp of adulthood, and they do not have near the understanding that I think they ought to, as they get ready to move into the world. So anyway, that was just neither here nor there. That was completely, it is here or there. It's a very important topic, but that wasn't planned. I didn't have any notes. I just wanted to, that's just, it came up this morning. I meet with today was our last prayer meeting at 6:30 this morning. Or excuse me, 5:30 this morning for our 6:30 local time in Conway, Arkansas, 5:30 my time, meeting with faculty and students for weekly prayer. This was our last prayer meeting of the semester, but the youth came up in our discussions before our prayer and in our prayers. And so that's just kind of on my mind and my heart this morning. So I thought I would just trot that out and dump it on you so that you can be thinking and praying about these things. We are continuing to read through the Bible in the Legacy Standard Version. We're reading through the New Testament. We are almost done. We have 6 chapters left in Revelation. And then we'll kind of read through the Psalms and Proverbs somewhat for the rest of the month before starting the first week of January, going through the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Version using the 5-day reading plan, which is linked in the show notes. The 2020 plan is going to be available the day after Christmas, the 26th, or if you are a Patreon supporter of the 5-day reading plan, folks, you can get it now. But that will be available on the 26th, so just a couple more weeks. And, boy, we're only just a few weeks away from Christmas. a couple weeks. It's the 8th. Wow. So we're less than 20 days from Christmas. I need to get my Christmas cards in the mail. That's all there is to that. Yeah. Going to be a little late this year. Life catches up with you. Things move too fast. All right. Before we get into our scripture reading, then let us pray. And again, I'm switching up the order of our collects this morning, because I'm going to pray the collect for the second Sunday in Advent first, because we are in the second week of Advent. And next week we'll use the collect for the third week in Advent, and the collect for the second week of Advent will go back to its normal place, which is right before we get into the scriptures. So let us then pray. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord, our Governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States and to the governors of the 50 states, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. And now, opening the Bible software, which I didn't have open ahead of time, we are in Revelation chapter 17. And I'm hearing Darby the hamster. Yes, Darby the hamster is getting a drink of water, hearing that little ball at the end of the water spout when she licks it to get water. It makes a distinctive little clickety-clickety sound that lets me know that my hamster is awake. So as soon as we're done with the scripture reading and I sign off from the podcast, I will be giving her a few pumpkin seeds, which is otherwise known as hamster crack. So she will enjoy that, I am sure. Another sip of coffee. As I said, I got up early this morning for that prayer meeting. Okay, our scripture reading today is Revelation chapter 17. Again, we are reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. Then one of the seven angels who have the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed sexual immorality. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her sexual immorality. And he called me away in the spirit into a wilderness. Then I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Then I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus, When I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits, and they are 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other is yet to come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. And the beast which was and is not is himself also an 8th, and is 1 of the 7, and he goes to destruction. And the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and elect and faithful. And he said to me, The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and crowds and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will lay waste to her and make her naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. For God gave it in their hearts to do his purpose both by doing their own common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be finished. And the woman whom you saw is the great city, which has a kingdom over the kings of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Well, thank you once again for being with me on Squirrel Chatter. Just a reminder, we will be here tomorrow for Theology Thursday as we continue to look at the 1689 Confession. And there will be no Squirrel Chatter on Friday again because I will be driving a bus. And for some reason, doing a podcast while driving a bus is rather difficult for me. So there won't be a podcast on Friday. But we'll see you again here tomorrow for Theology Thursday. Remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it under the glory of the Lord. And we'll see you again here tomorrow. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.